It's good to be able to open God's word, isn't it, amen? And to know that our God is a good God. I guess this is really personal, isn't it? What is a follower of Jesus? And you may ask, it's a good question. Is he or she just someone who's going to walk according to the rule book? Do what the rule book says. If we as God's people walk and act according to the rule book, the Bible, what a different world. What a different witness it would be, wouldn't it? How many of us know that the Bible is not a rule book, it's a way of life? You know what the word Bible means? Basic information before leaving earth. Micah 6:8. Do any of us know what Micah 6:8 says? He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's a neat thought, isn't it? It's a real personal thought. That we would love mercy and walk humbly with our God. To act justly. Now, if I use the word, did you know, or beware, it's not because I'm repeating myself, it's because I want you to take notice of what I'll be sharing this morning. The Bible is the only book open and read in front of the author every time it's read. And if we model Micah 6:8, this world would know how great is our God. Amen? Our God is a great God. And we sing his praises because he is great and he's worthy of our praise. Today we will be tackling things, and I thank Royce for what he's been sharing lately about religion and religiosity and how we can get trapped into conforming to religion or religiosity. See, religion can bind and stop us from seeing what God wants us to see. Did you know finding Jesus is a life-changing experience? It was for me. 29th of April 1972, it was a life-changing experience. I remember, this is a couple of illustrations here where I went to visit my sister and her daughter, my niece, came to me, and I was not very old in the Lord, and she said, Uncle, have you got religion? I didn't even know what religion was. I said to her, Christine, I don't even know what religion is, but I found Jesus. I found Jesus. And also, a few weeks later, my eldest brother comes home, and he comes into the house, and he was very bombastic, you know. And he says to my mother, you've got to get that boy out of that church. Do you know, people who get religion go mad. And with that, I said, well, look, I don't know. I don't think I've got religion, but I met Jesus. I met Jesus. With that, the volcano erupted. He reacted and said, "Don't you preach at me." You see, finding Jesus and really walking with Jesus can change the world around you, can't it? It can impact people. If I was going to make a tribute to anybody, it would be the ladies, these old, dear old ladies of the Salvation Army in my hometown of Dannenberg. When I became a Christian, they looked after me. They nurtured me. They encouraged me. When I led my mum to Jesus, she was a difficult lady sometimes. She really was. You know, they looked after her. They really did. So if I was going to make a tribute to anybody, it would be to those ladies. See, religion is man's search for God. But having Jesus is a relationship. Would you agree? If I was going to say anything to someone about my faith, I would call myself a follower of Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus. Hebrews 12:2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is the pioneer. He's the one who's gone through everything for us, so that we can know the way to the eternal God, to our Father in heaven who cares about us. Amen? He didn't want to leave us in our sin and our way of life, that the devil would take us down. I've seen some things in my walk. In Christendom, we're not so compassionate in ways of lifting up the wounded, those that are a little different. But I am convinced of one thing, that when Jesus comes, our denominational barriers will either fly off or burn off. They will be gone. We used to have a saying, my wife and I and a few others, when we were all their ministers in the Sallies, we're the only army in the world who shoot our own wounded. Sad, isn't it? But they're not the only ones. And I mean that in all respect. I'm not trying to pull anybody down or be derogatory, but we can all fall into that category, can't we? We can say, well, they don't really tick all the boxes. By that I mean, that person's very loud in their faith. They are noisy. In church, I've seen leaders try to put God in a box. Do you know that God's bigger than a box? He did things differently. Jesus did, didn't he? He did it totally different. If you want to look at it, Luke 14, verse 3. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" you can see what the Sabbath could be like in my wife's, as growing up as a child, it was totally full on. So shall we heal on the Sabbath? Should we do good? And Jesus is bringing to their attention in Luke 10:25, the story of the Good Samaritan. Here the religious leaders are questioning Jesus, trying to draw him out, trying to trick him. And he draws their attention to a story. We know the story where the man is on his way to Jericho. He gets beaten up and he gets left for being dead. And we know that the priest walks by and he looks at him and he leaves him, lets him go. Didn't want to touch him. And the Levite comes along. He looks at him. Says, no. He walks by. Leaves him. And then Jesus brings out that a Samaritan, an outcast, who they had intermarried and done all sorts of things, comes along. He didn't think about anything else. Didn't think about, just picked him up. Put him up on his own donkey. Poured oil and wine into him. Looked after him, made sure that he had accommodation and was going to be looked after. See, the first two were more interested in their religiosity because they were thinking, well, if I touch him and the guy croaks, he's dead, I'm unclean for 7 days. So they thought more about themselves, because they would go through all sorts of things. They would have to wash their clothing. They would have to go through ceremony of all sorts of things that would make them clean again so they could go to the temple in Jerusalem. But not so the Good Samaritan. He did not even think about it. This man needs help. We used to say Christianity with its sleeves rolled up. That's Jesus with sleeves rolled up, isn't it? This is another, did you know? Through the years, I've discovered that God is bigger than the Catholics. God is bigger than the Anglicans. He's bigger than the Pentecostals, but don't tell them. And he's bigger than the Baptist. Sometimes we will be surprised at what Jesus can do. Especially when we turn around and say, or bow the knee and say, not my will, but yours be done. Your will be done in my life, Lord. I want to walk with you. And this is a beware. This is a beware one. It's Romans 12:2. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold you, your minds from within, so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good and meets all his demands and moves towards the goal of true maturity. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. In the early years when I came into the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the charismatic renewal, I was beginning to be squeezed. Well, oh, this is the way you worship. I was loud. People sometimes think, he's loud. In my early years, I was loud. You see, in the charismatic renewal, we had to pray long and loud. So that's what I did, because that's what you do when you're mature. Because in that verse at the end, it says, in true maturity, you pray loud and long. You see, you get yourself falling into things. Patty. You ever heard of Patty? Not your Paddy. This is Paddy. He'd had a night on the bottle. He's going home the next day, and he meets a traveling preacher. And he's there, and he's preaching away, and he says, "You look like a man. You need Jesus." Paddy says, and of course there happened to be a river that was flowing. He says, "I'll baptize you." And he puts him down in the water for 15 seconds and he says, "Did you find Jesus?" And he, "No." So he puts him down again for 30 seconds. "Did you find Jesus?" And he says, "No." And he puts him down for a minute. "Did you find Jesus?" And he says, "Is this where he fell in?" The story is, it always, yes, do we fall in with things around about us? See, for him, I didn't find Jesus. You know, he held me out for a minute. He didn't. No, we fall into things because we think it's the way it's done. Instead of being listening to Jesus. What is Jesus saying to the church? William Booth had this to say. He said, "God forbid that the Salvation Army should ever become a denomination." What did they become? Royce and I were talking the other day. Hillsong, they have now become a denomination. Do you know what William Booth said that for? He said because he wanted them to stay focused on the mission. So we need to not just fall in for the sake of falling in. He also said something, and these are some of the things that I picked up along the way that I think the man was really, really touched by God. It was a vision he had. "The chief changes of the 20th century will be religion without the Holy Spirit, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell. Workers as everything depended on work, and pray if everything depended upon prayer. They are the chief changes that are facing the church." And we could see that. One of the things that I did see, we were always at conferences, my wife and I, And I really do not understand why sometimes that people do things. But we would just have these two keynote speakers. And we would always say, I wonder which one of them will use the biggest word first. And you could never tell whether these two were going. They always used to seem to try to outdo each other. See, this is the risk of falling in. This is how you act if you're mature or you're been a preacher for all these years. Let's keep it heart open in our walk with God. Amen. See, when we were baby Christians, when we first came to Jesus, wasn't it good? Wasn't it good? Now, I just knew that Jesus was so real. He had so touched my life. He was the life-changing factor. There's a real danger of falling in and being conformed to the image of people around about you. But we are called to be different. Come ye out from among them. We're different. Because we follow Jesus. I remember, this is quite sad really. Men, we joined together, 1978, Bible College. He'd been in the system for a long time. He had tremendous ability in organizing, and he was gifted in administration. But they came to him, the hierarchy, and they said, look, if you want to move further up the ladder, you can't rock the boat. You can't keep talking about being filled with the Spirit, baptism in the Spirit. You've got to find the terminology that we use in the system. So I saw him shift, because they asked him, you've got to cross over. So he crossed over. And I saw him completely different. He talked like them. He walked like them. He did everything that they did. You see, there's a real danger about being conformed to those around about you. Let us beware the dangers of being conformed unto the image of a denomination. Romans 8:29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Do we resemble Jesus? By this, I mean, do we just do whatever we do? Keeping things as they are. We've always done it this way. See, we are to be conformed unto the image of Jesus. I found myself in many predicaments when I was pastoring. So I probably did the things a little bit different out and a bit out of from what they wanted or thought I should do. I would want to always be a pioneer. Seems really exciting to me to be a pioneer, wouldn't it? Not just a settler. this is what I'm going to share with you this morning. Some of you may laugh at it. You may think, oh, gosh, where's he coming from? You can either be a pioneer or a settler. This is faith. In pioneer theology, faith is the spirit of adventure. It is readiness to move out, to risk everything on the trail. Faith in settler theology. Faith is trusting in the safety of the town, obeying the laws, believing the mayor, is always in the courthouse and keeping your nose clean. This is dealing with church being. In pioneer theology, the church is a covered wagon. It's a house on wheels, always on the move. It bears the marks of life. It creaks, it's scarred with arrow marks, bandaged with bale wire. A covered wagon is always where the action is. In settler theology, the church is the courthouse. An old stone structure dominates the town square. Inside its walls, records are kept. Taxes are paid. Trials are held for bad guys. And it's a symbol of security. Am I a pioneer or am I a settler? In pioneer theology, the Christian is a pioneer. He is a man of risk and daring, and hungry for adventure, new life. He is tough, rides hard, and knows how to handle himself through the trials and danger. He enjoys the challenge of the trail. He dives with his boots on. You couldn't resist it, could you, brother? He knew what was coming. In settler theology, the Christian is a settler. His concern is to stay out of the sheriff's way. He tends a small garden. His motto is safety first. To him, the courthouse is a symbol of security, order, and happiness. Don't rock the boat. Everything's secure. We just want it this way. In pioneer theology, Jesus is a scout. He rides out ahead to find out which way the pioneer should go. He lives all the dangers of the trail. He doesn't ask the pioneers to do what he didn't do first. His spirit and guts serve as a model to all. In settler theology, Jesus is the sheriff. He is the guy sent by the mayor to enforce the rules. He wears a white hat and always outdraws the bad guys. He also decides who gets thrown into jail. Where are we? Are we settlers or pioneers? Are we willing to risk all? A manifesto, a vision to bring people, to make people understand who Jesus is. We've got to be pioneers, move out, do something different. But we've always done it this way. We're not campers. We're movers. They talk about shakers and movers. Well, we need to move, don't we? We need to move in Jesus. If you're not moving, you're standing still, aren't you? So let's not stand still. Let's keep moving in Jesus. Amen. getting closer and closer to what Jesus wants to do in our lives, what he wants to do in you and me. And it's not about keeping a whole lot of do's and don'ts. It's about living like Jesus so people can find Jesus. Amen? So they can find Jesus. Do we live like him? Do we act like Jesus? What does the Lord require of me? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That's what he asks of me. Will I do that? That's not religion. That's Jesus moving in our lives, changing us. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of the man called Sundar Singh. It was called Sadhu Sundar Singh. He lived way back in the 1900s in northern India. His parents wanted him to have the best in life, so they sent him to a Christian missionary school where he would learn English. And Sundar Singh, at age 14, lost his mum. His mum died. And this teenager was absolutely mortified that his mum had died. And as a teenager, he was determined to take his own life. He was going to commit suicide. He was going to lay on the railway track, not far from their place. But he thought, well, he'd been in the Christian school. If there's a God, I will ask him. I'll ask Jesus. And he stays there. And remember, he's only a teenager. And Jesus rolls up. Such a light came into his room. This man, Sundar Singh, was an amazing evangelist. If you want to read something of his life, he was a man so touched by Jesus. And he did amazing things and lived like that verse of scripture. What does the Lord require of me? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And this man really showed love and compassion to everyone he met. See, he was converted from militant Hinduism to Jesus. But the story really begins in his life when he is asked to go and speak at a university for Hinduism. And he is the keynote speaker. And the MC asks him, "Mr. Singh, what did you find in Christianity that you did not have or did not find in Hinduism?" He stood up. "I found Jesus." And he sat down. And he asked him again, "What did you find in Christianity that you didn't have or find in Hinduism?" And he stood up and says, "I found Jesus," and sat down again. This went on for 5 times. By this time, the MC's just about pulling his hair out. And looking around, he sees that the MC and all of those around him and the student body are becoming a little bit frustrated. So he says, I'll tell you a story. And maybe this will help you to understand. There's a man who fell into a ditch. There's a lot of ditches in India. The man was in the ditch. He was desperate for somebody to help him up out of the ditch. The first person who came by was Krishna. Krishna said, "You poor man, this is your karma." Then he walked away. Then he was followed by Buddha. And he looked at the man. "Why didn't you walk on the other side of the road and not this side where the ditches are?" And he walked away. Then he was followed by Muhammad. Muhammad came and looked at the man and he felt sorry for him. "My poor man, this is the will of Allah for you to be in the ditch." Finally, Jesus comes along and he looks at him. He doesn't say anything, but he takes off his robe and he jumped into the ditch and he picked me up and took me out of the ditch. That's what I found in Jesus. And that's what I mean by finding Jesus. Didn't he do that for you and me? While we were in the ditch, while things were going wrong and we wondered why, he took off his robe and he jumped into the ditch with us and said, "I love you. I love you. Child, you are mine. When you walk through the waters, you'll not be drowned." Yes, he's promised to be with us. See, Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. When we read that passage of scripture about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life, it also can mean reality. The reality of who Jesus is. That he is the one who will set us free from whatever has got its nips into us and is holding us back. Whether it's because we don't know who Jesus is, or it's because we've got a religion that's got its taking us down wrong roads and we're not hearing from the Master. And it comes back to what I said at the beginning. I don't know what religion is, but I found Jesus. I met Jesus. Amen? I met Jesus. And he's the life-changing factor. So So that's what I would like to share this morning. And if you haven't found Jesus, if you haven't made that commitment about letting Jesus into your life, you've gone through all sorts of things, today can be your day. Amen. You can find Jesus. Yes. Thank you, Royce.
Thanks, Calvin. You know, Jesus is what is the one it's all about, eh? And yeah. How about we stand and as we just ponder what Calvin has been sharing, and maybe you might, you know, you could have been sitting in this church for 20 years, and maybe you actually don't know Jesus. It's no condemnation. We want you to know Jesus. And maybe you might want to get some prayer. You might want to come and talk to Calvin. You might want to come and ask somebody, I want to know this Jesus. Don't leave. Don't move from here. Don't be so worried about the coffee that, you know, you're going to put aside something that's of far more value and far more importance. We're going to finish with a song as we ponder what we've heard. But I really encourage you to respond if you feel that's what God is calling you to do, if you want need to know Jesus. Then, yeah.
Are you hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst from a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Jesus. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before Him. Lord, I'll go sing hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Church, as we come to the end of our service, it's not the end of the call to Jesus. I really do want to urge, and we'll just do, I come through to the altar, the chorus a couple of times. But if you do not know Jesus, today is the day to come to the altar. You know, today is the day. You don't have to be petty. You don't have to keep being dunked under the water. Come to the altar. Come know Jesus. If you're experiencing great sorrow, come and let us stand with you. We can't take the sorrow from you, but we can stand with you in your grief.
Come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was spoken, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Bear your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found. Jesus is calling. Bear your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Oh Lord, we just thank you for the price that you've paid, Lord. Lord, we thank you that we can have a personal relationship with you. And Lord, we thank you for the challenge that Calvin's given us as well, that we can show the world you by walking in your way. And so, Lord, as we leave today, Lord, let us be a people who aren't afraid to actually walk in your way, to walk in your way, Lord. Let us be a people that are Christ bearers, light bearers, life bearers, in our workplaces, in our communities, in our schools, just in our life, Lord. We thank you for everything that you've done. We thank you so much that we're prepared to take the challenge and tell the world what you have done. Hallelujah. Amen. So one thing I forgot to tell everyone before is make sure you welcome someone. But I've kept it right to the end because you can do it over a cup of coffee or tea.